This is the new TC Pride Podcast, episode 90. Reflections on Pride 2017 with Executive Director Dot Beltzler.
Hello and welcome to the Twin Cities Pride Podcast. I'm Ryan Garza from Podletter Media. I'm here with Pride's Executive Director, Dot Beltzler. Dot, how you doing?
Great. Good to see you, Ryan.
Yeah, it's been a little while. It's good to see you again. So this is episode 90.
Oh my gosh.
90. We recently released all the episodes from the 2017 festival. Ended up being around 6 hours of interviews and first Pride stories. We even got a chance to talk to some friends of ours that came to visit from Pride Winnipeg.
Awesome.
So that was a good time. So I'd like to encourage people to go on back and check out any of those episodes that they'd like. If you were there, you're probably on the podcast somewhere. We talked to a ton of people. But speaking of the 2017 festival, so we're actually calling this episode right here Reflections on Pride 2017. We did a similar episode after the festival last year, 2016. So we thought we'd talk to you again about some of the things that happened in the lead up to the 2017 festival and some of the things that maybe have happened as a result or since. But for people who maybe aren't as familiar with you, you've been here at TCP for a little while now. How long have you been here at TCP, and how'd you get involved to begin with?
Sure. Well, I started off as an interim executive director in the fall of 2009. And just to kind of, you know, fill a gap that was there for a few months, the board hired an executive director in January of 2010. She promptly left in May. And the board said, Dot.
Oh, yeah.
So I've been on board full-time since 2010. Wow. So that would make this my 9th festival. So, yeah, we've been here for a while.
So like we mentioned, there was a little controversy surrounding the festival this year, to say the least. And, you know, now that the dust is somewhat settled, I think I acknowledged in our last conversation that, you know, that oftentimes, you know, large organizations like this, you know, often encounter challenges and opportunities for growth. And sounds like the 2017 festival certainly had a few of those this year.
Oh, absolutely.
And a lot of that actually even stemmed back to maybe even the festival of 2016.
Absolutely. The 2016 festival happened 2 weeks after the Pulse shooting in Orlando. So everybody was worried and feared for their lives, actually. So we worked with the police and made sure to have visible increased police, more so than our normal security presence. Our white guests thought it was great. They felt safe. People of color and trans folks, not so much. When we heard that loud and clear, so after the festival last winter, then we had some focus groups and really talking to people of color and trans folks to find out what they wanted to see, how they wanted to be involved, what they envisioned Pride to be. So for 2017, we made a lot of changes in the festival to towards those ends. The parade was interesting. You know, normally the parade leads off with several different law enforcement agencies rolling down the street with their lights and sirens, celebrating, you know, hey, here comes the parade. So in order to be respectful of POC folks, we asked the city just to have the one unmarked squad car lead off the parade, which is the minimum that we have to have. Part of the reason, well, in addition to our conversations with folks, the Philando Castile verdict came down like 10 days before Pride.
Right.
So the community, well, is still upset, but it was a very fresh wound, I think, for people. So to really back down on the police presence was important for us this year.
Yeah.
The message didn't get out right. You know, so the message got out that Pride banned the police.
Mm-hmm.
And there were
some strong opinions around that. Actually,
on
right?
both sides.
Yeah.
On both sides, there were very strong opinions. We'd never banned the police.
Right.
We did what we had to do legally, and we ended up with a group of folks protested the parade. Mm-hmm. They invited the crowd to join them in the protest, and really they ended up I think they got their message out. They did a die-in on one of the corners, and the end result, they delayed the parade by about an hour. So we almost voided our permit because we have to have the streets completely cleaned and out of there by 4 p.m.
Parade logistics. I didn't realize
this. I know, right? Right. Yeah, there are lots of different things. So I have been trying to reach the organizers of that protest to talk to them and say, you know, what can Pride do? How can we be better? And invite people to the table. Yeah. And I think we've been inviting people to the table for a long time. Right. And I think folks, it's a challenge, I think, for some folks to make time. I mean, they're involved in so many different things, but I think it's a challenge to make time to come to Pride. So I think that it's our responsibility to go out and talk to people.
Yeah, and I know some of the controversy as well for the festival this past time around was centered around the fact that there were voices from people within the community who felt like Pride, Twin Cities Pride, maybe didn't or doesn't represent them as much as they thought maybe Pride should. Now, from being on the inside of the organization as long as I have, you know, I know personally, at least, that, you know, Pride's mission is never to intentionally exclude anyone. But you know, like you said, there are often opportunities for growth in any organization. What else would you like to say, you know, to anyone in the queer community who maybe feels like they're still maybe underrepresented or that their voice isn't being heard right now?
Right. So we do have open board meetings every month, the first Monday of the month at 7 o'clock here at our offices. We invite the public to come and air their grievances or let us know what they're feeling or how they want to be involved. We are working on installing a couple of new board members, people of color, which I'm very excited about. I think a lot of people think that our board consists of old white gay men, and really it doesn't. I mean, we're half male, half female. People of color are on our board, but I think we need more so we can tackle some of the privilege that we have, that we enjoy, I guess. You know, we have to come out of our comfort zone.
So beyond all the controversy that took place, what would you like to say about the festival kind of overall? And what would you like to say to the countless people who were involved?
Oh, we have so many great volunteers. We had over 600 volunteers last year. The Twins, wow. Minnesota Twins, gave us 4 tickets for every volunteer, which was fabulous. It's been great working with them. We have some great sponsors, and they're the reason that we can have a free Pride Festival. So I know some people aren't thrilled with the corporate presence, and I understand that, but that's who pays for everything. One thing that we had last year that I thought was really great was the escape space for people on the autism spectrum to actually have a place where they could go and just chill out for a while. It was really well received. I'm super excited about that.
Yeah, we stopped by and talked to them on the podcast, and I actually learned me some stuff. There's like 6 or 7 senses that people have that I wasn't aware of, like most of them, big long words, big 8-syllable words. But yeah, no, that was really great. I checked it out. So yeah, just another way that Pride is actively working to make sure that everyone's needs are accounted for and everyone is represented as much as possible. You know, so one other thing that we've been talking about since last year is that some that people might not know is that, so Pride is kind of in the process of shifting away from a model where the organization itself holds all the events or holds a large number of events over the year to a model that's increasingly focused on the organization helping the other, maybe smaller organizations and individuals in the community create and hold events of their own. Why is a shift so important to the organization and the community overall?
You know, sometimes I think people want to, well, of course, they want to have an event that is for their own community, for a smaller community maybe than Pride. I mean, we do try to be all things to all people, but we know that we can't be. So for those groups that really need to have community within themselves, it's great for us to support that. One of the things that we're supporting this year is a youth dance out in Monticello, for of all places, right? That Wright County, you know, it's like, this is good. You know, we want to make sure that those kids out there have just as much exposure to, you know, fun and community that as the kids here in town.
Yeah, I've noticed that, you know, I'm involved with a few different organizations, and I have noticed that that has been a trend to make sure that the queer community, even the broader progressive community, is reaching out to people in those rural communities who, like you said, I mean, you know, being here in Minneapolis, right, there's all these organizations, and, you know, we're so sophisticated and progressive, and, you know, there's any night of the week, there's some fundraiser, some organization, some educational thing. But, you know, it's easy for us to forget that people out in the sticks, quote unquote, or, you know, that don't have as much access to that stuff, could really benefit from some of the opportunities that we have here. So it's really great to hear that Pride is involved in that as well. So there are some other big things shaping up on the horizon that you wanted to share with folks as well.
Sure. So we are super excited this year. We're launching the Twin Cities Pride Magazine, the official Pride Guide. It's a great opportunity for us to be able to tell our story about those organizations that we support and that help us. Also going to be talking quite a bit in the magazine about our history. You know, I think people don't really understand the history of Pride. This is year 46 for the Pride Festival. And people don't realize that the very first one had like 100 people, yeah. You know.
And we've talked to some of the people that were there, yeah, when they're like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, when people look at some old pictures, they're like, really? I'm like, yeah, really. So some of that and some of like the activities that we do year round, like we have Winter Family Fun Fest over at the Vulcan Snow Park. So we have, you know, 100 folks, you know, and kids and parents coming out to play in the snow, and then kids can make Valentines for their parents.
And I know it's February, and people will be listening to this in February, but we also wanted to mention that we are kind of already starting the ramp up. The ramp up for 2018 has begun.
Absolutely, it has. I was trying to get on some people's calendars in the past month or so to start kind of the process, and nobody wanted to talk to me before
Super Bowl.
Super Bowl.
Super Bowl.
Super Bowl. Super Bowl.
Talk to me after the Super Bowl.
Exactly, because everybody had a ton of events going on. So just this last week, I've started to get out and talk to folks and see how they want to be involved. I actually talked to Target this morning. They want to create a youth space, like a 14 to 21-year-old space, and that's something we've struggled with in the past at Pride. We have a teen scene tent that the Annex Teen Clinic anchors for us, where they have some crafty things going on. They also have Ask a Nurse, so you can privately have a conversation with a nurse about, you know, how you're feeling as a teen. But so it's a demographic that we really need to hit. So yeah, people have some great ideas and are ready to talk. One of the things that we promised after last year's festival and parade was that we would have some town hall meetings, and we're working on getting those scheduled. I really want to have the police involved, and they were extremely busy, and, you know, no, again, Super Bowl, yeah. You know, so now we can work on getting those on the calendar.
So, and as we ramp up towards 2018, what are some ways that people in the community can maybe start to get involved, even at this early stage or even getting closer to the festival? Basically, what does Pride need the most this year, other right. than like maybe a big bag of cash or something like that? But right. Always donations, right? I'm sure.
Always donations.
Always appreciate it. But
that's great. But yeah, if people want to volunteer, right now our volunteers are organizing, you know, the parade folks are getting together, the entertainment folks. We actually this Saturday are meeting to select the artists that are going to be part of the festival this year and work. So we're super excited about that. Yeah, it's planning time. If people want to learn about outdoor event planning, it's call me up.
and speaking of events, if I'm not mistaken, at an upcoming event, you'll actually be announcing the headliner for Pride and
yes,
Concert.
Yes, we are.
Kind of a little earlier this year than it's normally
done. It is. You know, so Indeed Brewery has these great Wednesday night events where they select the employees there, select nonprofits to partner with, and that nonprofit gets the net proceeds of sales for that night, which is awesome.
It's called like Indeed We Can or something.
Indeed We Can is the name of the program. And the last time, 2 years ago, they selected us and we got an April date, which was great, perfect timing. the only day left was Valentine's Day. So we're making the most of it. And we actually have our headliner booked. And I just now finally signed the contract. So I feel really good about that. Nice. So we'll be unveiling that in conjunction with Pride Radio. Folks will be on hand and it'll be great. Give away some free tickets and it'll be good.
So indeed is Pride Twin Cities Valentine this year.
Exactly. Plenty of hearts to go around.
Nice. I can feel it. I can feel the love. So, all right. Well, that's everything I had for you. Was there anything else you'd kind of like to say? Did we forget anything or anything else you'd like to touch on?
You know, no, I think that, I think it might be too early to say happy Pride, but you know, we're always
never too early.
Never too early. Yeah. Like I said, if people want to get involved, they want to volunteer or just come to an event, you know, we're planning lots of them, you know, for this summer too. Like after Pride, we're going to be doing, you know, a Valley Fair Day, a State Fair Day, a Renaissance Festival Day. You know, just for people to have that opportunity to come together and find that community, you know, outside of the Pride Festival.
You know, it's all about finding that community and building the community. Thank you very much for your time, as always, Dot. How can people get a hold of you if you have any questions about anything?
TCPride.org.
All right. Thank you very much, Dot. And we will talk to you again soon.
Thank you.
The TC Pride Podcast is a production of Podletter Media and Twin Cities Pride. Subscribe now on iTunes, on Android, or by email at tcpridepodcast.org. Get above the noise by raising your voice. Podletter Media turns your email newsletter, blog, or video content into a more powerful, more personal,
more intimate,
on-demand listening experience. Your podcast.
Your story.
Your voice. Simplified. Amplified. Learn more now at podletter.com.